This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now the Ravens, however, 30-23 over the Chargers. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. It's Rush. It's a victory Tuesday. Anything went loud, we got it. You want to talk about the win, we got that too. If you're concerned about Baltimore heading into this matchup at home against the Eagles, I think those concerns are fair. As they're 9-2, they won seven straight games. But here to talk about last night from USA Today, it's the Ravens Wire, joins us every Tuesday. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. What is happening?
Good morning, guys. It was a really big win for the Ravens last night. I mean, for multiple different reasons, but they got back on track, and I thought that we saw a lot of positive things. Some things they have to work on still, for sure, but a win is a win, and I'm glad they're able to get the job done.
All right, before we get to the offense, and praise is certainly worthy there, let's talk about the defense. Back-to-back acceptable games. We're not saying it's the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears, but much better than we had seen. Hey, they won against Cincinnati, but it still felt like a loss. What do you like about the tweaks that have been made personnel-wise, and is this sustainable moving forward? You still have the Steelers. As we said, you got Philly coming up. Some other interesting games still on the schedule.
Yeah, I think it is sustainable, but like you said, it's definitely not the 2000 Ravens defense, and I'm not expecting them to go out there and all of a sudden become this top five defense and pass defense in all these different categories. Obviously, is a run defense, that's what we've been shown all year. That's what they've shown us, is they're an elite unit there. But in the secondary, I think what I like is that, you know, the Ravens didn't get content with what was going on early in the season, where, you know, you can talk about Marcus Williams, Eddie Jackson, all these guys that weren't getting the job done. And, you know, the coaching staff, Eric DaCosta, everybody made the right change. I think Ardarius Washington has played really well. And I think that when you look at how the Ravens operated last night, they didn't have Roquan Smith, who had his best game of the season against Pittsburgh last week. And so you needed to have guys like Malik Harrison step up and guys like Chris Board. And while it was a rough first few minutes for Malik Harrison, for sure, I thought he bounced back really well. By the end of the game, I thought he was one of the best defensive players on the field. So you get contributions from guys like Trey White. You move Brandon Stevens around and find a more effective role for him. Nate Wiggins has been awesome his rookie season. Marlon Humphrey playing at an all-pro level. And, you know, it's about this team not even being a top 10 pass defense from now on. If they can just be average, even a little below average, like we've talked about before, I mean, that will help the floor and the ceiling of this team tremendously, because they have been so poor in defending the pass this season. But last 2 weeks have been a step in the right direction. Chargers and Steelers offense, not necessarily the best offenses in the league, but Chargers offense has talented players on it. I'm not necessarily as high on the Steelers' offense, but they did what they were supposed to do, and I'm glad they're at least taking steps in the right direction.
Kevin, staying on defense, how much is your opinion of Adape Owe changed this season?
Well, I think he's been someone that at least provides you with that pressure. I think that, you know, he's had some up and down moments this season, times where he'll disappear, but I think to me, he can be a game wrecker, where, again, like last week against Pittsburgh, he has three sacks, and he was getting held a lot last night, and, you know, not a lot of it was called, if we're being honest. But I think that he's a player that, on a fifth-year option, he's going to be on the team next season. I think that he's done a bit in a Ravens uniform this year. He hasn't done everything. But look, this is a guy that you look at the numbers for Odafe Oweh, and I feel like he's someone that needed somewhat of a year like this, where he's not necessarily been struggling all season. But I think that the next step for Odafe Oweh is just a bit more consistency. I think that's the thing, where we see the flashes, we see the talent, we know it's there. But I think if we're talking about progression or next steps for Odafe Oweh, in my opinion, I think if we see a bit more consistency, the sky's the limit for him.
Now, Kevin, the thing that I noticed in that game, you know, and we talked about it last week, I think that Simpson didn't play well at all against Pittsburgh. And they had four linebackers, you know, kind of rotating through. Welsh only had seven snaps. But other than that, Board and Harrison both had more snaps than Simpson. So I think coming into Philly, you know, this week, I think Simpson's going to start to get less and less, because I think they found something. And I think they realized that, or I realized too, that Board played well. And Harrison plays well, you know, in the things that he can do, he does them well.
Yeah, I was really impressed with what I saw from Chris Board and obviously Malik Harrison too. And I think that, especially on passing downs, I feel like Chris Board should get those opportunities. I agree, Trent Simpson has been, from his play perspective, a bit of a disappointment this season, and has kind of struggled this year when called upon. And, you know, it's not like he's been, like, awful terrible, but he hasn't. I think a lot of people were expecting this big breakout year two, and it just hasn't really happened that way. So you're right, where I think that for the Ravens, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh, and company are kind of like, look, if it's not working, we're going to try something else, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to make sure that we find the solution that actually does work. And again, just like we talked about with the secondary, it's sitting there right in front of their faces. So I think that with this Ravens team, you have a couple of really good players, and, you know, they're not star-level guys in Malik Harrison or Chris Board, but they give you enough on the field to have it be worth playing. Malik Harris, both those guys, all the defense last night, honestly, was showing their physicality without Roquan out there and hitting guys and making guys pay for trying to get the extra yard, and that's kind of the embodiment of what this defense is. So I would not be shocked either if we kind of see Trent Simpson start to get phased out a little bit on defense, and we see guys like Chris Board and Malik Harrison get those snaps, especially when Roquan gets back in the fold.
And offensive line-wise, you know, with McCary, his penalties, his holds and stuff, just being lazy, to me, it's just technique. You know, like he hog-ties guy. You know, he wraps her head around. I mean, you're going to get that called every time. Just keep your hands in tight. And because he's the, I think, isn't he the most penalized lineman in the league?
Yeah, he's either top or top two at least, because I mean, he came into the week last week tied for second, so I'm not sure how those other guys fared. But yeah, I mean, I agree, especially when it comes to keeping your hands in and then disengaging when either a guy runs by you. And, you know, obviously the way that – it's crazy because obviously Baltimore is the most penalized team in the league. Carl Sheffer's crew was known notoriously for not throwing flags, and then, of course, there are 9 penalties on the Ravens and 7 on the Chargers, and it turns into another flag fest for some reason. But you're right. I think the offensive line and obviously Baltimore in general has to clean up on the penalties. It's something that will just – it continues to haunt them, and it's cost them games before. I think that they were able to overcome it better in this game, and I thought that even when they were putting themselves into second and long situations early in the game, it was really tough, especially like the leg whip penalty, whatever that was on Patrick Ricard, and sets them back 15 yards when you should have had a 15-yard gain. That's always tough. But I thought Baltimore was able to overcome a lot of those penalties, or at least some of them. But it's not always that easy, and we've seen it literally play out in front of us where it hasn't been. So this team needs to be able to get that together, because I thought the offensive line was able to protect Lamar pretty well last night and open up rushing lanes for the Ravens and Derrick Henry and everybody. But penalty-wise, they just have to clean it up because, you know, what is it now, 99 penalties?
No, 102.
There we go, 102. So, I mean, that's unacceptable through 12 weeks. You got to clean it up.
I tell you what, two guys that have really improved a ton with their blocking, Falele and Charlie Kolar. They've done a hell of a job, and you know, George Warhop deserves some credit, and the tight end coach, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I mean, he's made Charlie Kohler into an efficient blocker.
Yeah, and this season has kind of been in a lot of ways the season of unsung guys who maybe we didn't expect to go out there and have either the years they're having or the roles they're having. And Falele was someone that I think a lot of people had to kind of grow into the idea of him starting, myself included. I was definitely in that conversation. I won't hide that, but I've been impressed. I mean, especially from what we saw early in the season, and you know, he was someone that was a project at that position, and Ravens saw enough to be able to plug him in there and say, hey, this is what you're going to do now. And I think that he's done really well, especially, you know, pulling out. He's been really good at getting outside and getting on a guy, getting to the second level, opening up those rushing lanes. And, yeah, I think for Charlie Kohler, he's been somebody that I don't necessarily know that a lot of people would have thought that he would be the guy to have a role that he has had, especially after the week that Isaiah Likely had in week one. I think a lot of people thought, okay, well, it's going to be a bunch of two tight end sets with Andrews and Likely, and Kohler will just factor in sometimes, but the way the Ravens rotate in their personnel, obviously Kohler's had a lot bigger role this year, and I've been really impressed with him as well. So hopefully he's all good, because he's actually been a decent part of their offense this season, and I think he's done a really good job when called upon.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Ravens 2.5-point favorites against Philly Sunday, 4:25. The winning team will be who? Since we're off for the rest of the week after tomorrow, we won't talk to you until next Tuesday.
Man, it's going to be a tough game. You got Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. But I'm going with the Ravens. You know I'm going with the Ravens. I'm going with
Homer.
Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore. Lamar, Jalen Hurts, going to be a good matchup, though.
Possible Super Bowl preview, Battle of the Birds, on Thanksgiving week, ironically enough, as we have Turkey Day coming up in two. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. You and the family, and we'll catch up next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
There's Kevin Ostreicher, everybody. It's V88-1057, the Fan. A whip around coming up next. Tons going on in the world of sports last night. Capitals continue to roll along early here in 2024 into 25. And some epic college basketball games, including a couple of upsets. We'll get into that. And then Vinny's Dirty Dozen. Who are the 12 best teams in the National Football League? I'm just going to guess one team helped their cause. Another one may have taken on the chin, but how much so?
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Victory Tuesday. Ravens 30-23 over the Chargers last night. Get back into the win column after that frustrating L at Pittsburgh last Sunday. Lamar Jackson counts for 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry rushed for 140 yards. So the Ravens back at it. Sunday, 4:25 against the Eagles, who have won 7 in a row. Ravens are 2.5-point favorites. We have another day and a half to break that one down. But other things happening in the world of sports, like on the ice last night. The Caps taking on the Florida Panthers. And you figure Ovi's out for weeks. This would be detrimental to the Washington's cause, but oh no, not so fast.
Chychrun with a puck at the attacking line. Jacob Chychrun, great pass. In tight, score! Lars Eller on the finish.
And Bob, they got Lars Eller a couple weeks ago from the Penguins.
Brought him back?
Yeah. Yeah, gave the Penguins a couple draft picks to get him back, and Eller had an empty netter, too. They had two empty netters. They were up 2-1. It was a tight game. They are not scoring a ton of goals without Ovi. And they beat Florida, which Florida had lost 3 in a row, which Florida won the cup last year. Florida's a good hockey team. So that was a good win for the Caps.
Joe B. Monumental on the call. 4-1 was the final score. Washington tomorrow at Tampa taking on the Lightning. They're 11-7-2 on the year.
Yeah, that'll be another. I mean, that Florida swing is not an easy swing because those are two good hockey teams. And, you know, the Caps just got to find a way to score some goals without Ovi 4 to 6 weeks, Bob. So, I mean, you're probably, we're talking probably first of the year he'll be back.
College football, Maryland this Saturday at Happy Valley, taking on Penn State, 3:30 kickoff. Maryland coming off the loss. Home finale against Iowa. Terps 4-7 on the year, 1-7 in the Big Ten. Penn State very much a prominent part of the playoff picture in college football this year. The playoff rankings come out tonight, by the way, if you're looking for that on ESPN. But the Nittany Lions, spread's gone up another point. It's 25.5-point favorites.
You know what's crazy about that one, too, Bob, is students are on break. Everybody's gone. I mean, Happy Valley is empty, and there'll probably be close to 100,000 people there.
Yeah, I think they're going to run up the score on the old Turtles here. It's unfortunate. I want Maryland to win. I hate Penn State. Always have. Always will. But, yeah, I see sacrificial lamb.
Bob, I always hated Penn State till I started paying them tuition.
Yeah, you
and
got
stuff.
Two kids going to Penn State, so I get that. But, oh, my God, Chuck Pessina. And who was the Matt Sui who wound up playing for the Bears? That couldn't Matt Millen, who used to punch general managers, which is actually pretty cool. When he played for the Raiders, he punched Sullivan for the Patriots. We don't want to digress too much here, but Maryland closing out the string. They're 4-7, bowl eligibility. It's not toast because there's 1,000 bowls, but nah. This is going to be an inglorious end to what has been a very disappointing season. Mike Locksley, what, 6 years in now?
Yeah. And it was when your secondary and your O-line are really bad, it's hard to have a good season, especially in the Big Ten when it's a smash-mouth physical conference and you can't be physical because you can't run the football. Makes it really difficult.
Good news is so far, and as Jeff Ehrman talked about yesterday from InsideMDSports.com, Malik Washington and most of the recruiting class for next year still holding steady. So that's something to look forward to. College hoops last night, yesterday, because there's all these holiday tournaments going on. As a matter of fact, there'll be basketball coming on here within the hour. Top 25, Memphis. Stunned second-ranked defending national champ UConn in overtime, 99-97 out in Maui. They were blowing UConn out. UConn tied it with a three at the buzzer to send it into OT. And then McNeely, the kid that decommitted from Indiana, played high school ball with Derrick Queen and Cooper Flagg. He got called for an over-the-back, and Hurley like collapsed on the floor. He said, I lost my balance. Did you see that, Nolan? He crapped all over the Memphis kid. He said he made a half-ass attempt to block out. My guy got the rebound. I kind of tripped because he got teed up, and that proved to be the difference.
This is the other side of you win back-to-back titles. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You got NBA offers. Everybody's, you know, riding your jock. And now this is the other side of it, the reality.
Very Bobby Knight-esque comment, though. When Bobby Knight infamously threw the chair, he said, yeah, I saw an old lady standing over there, and she needed a place to sit, so through the chair. That's what happened. Iowa State loses to Auburn 83-81, same tournament. Number four, Auburn against number five, Cyclones, your boys. Auburn outscored Iowa State 50-32 in the second half.
Whoa.
So they pull off the win in that one. Wisconsin, or UNC rather, they beat Dayton. Another thrilling game, 92-90. Dayton thought they had tied the game at 90, but the kid's foot was on the line, and that was all she wrote. So some fun there locally. UMBC over Howard, 95-77. Navy over Washington College of Maryland, 94-43. Derek Queen, he was named as the Big Ten Rookie of the Week based on his performance last week for Kevin Willard's Turtles. It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. NBA last night, Detroit 102-100. Toronto, Ivy, the kid from Jaden Ivy from Purdue, he had 25 for the Pistons. Bruno Fernando, Maryland Terp for Toronto, 9 points, 4 boards, 5 assists. Memphis 123-98 over Portland. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound, 13 points, 17 rebounds to assist John Morant, 22-11 in that one. Oklahoma City over Sacramento, 131-09. Nolan's boy, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 37 points in the win. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, he had 8 points, 4 boards there. For Sacramento, unfortunately, Kevin Herter, Alex Len, 2 Terps, combined for 13 minutes and 0 points.
Dude.
Coming up. Empty are the Turtles there. This day in sports history, it is November the 26th, 1982. Larry Holmes beat Tex Cobb. Unanimous decision. Astrodome in Houston to defend WBC championship. I watched it. It was on ABC. My girlfriend at the time, Donna, was with me. And so it was a long time ago, 42 years ago. The significance of this, it's Howard Cosell's last pro fight. Said, I'll never do boxing again. because he thought they should have stopped it. Because basically, they should have just put Everlast on Tex Cobb's forehead by like the eighth round, and then Holmes worked him like a bag. And then Tex Cobb became an actor. He was in The Golden Child, a great movie. But anyway, Howard Cosell's last pro fight. He did Olympics in 84. Still did all that, but his last pro boxing match took place on this date 42 years ago. MLB Awards, 1963. Pete Rose wins National League Rookie of the Year for the Reds. 1975, Fred Lynn become the first player ever to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season for the Boston Red Sox. Heisman Trophy, 1963. Roger Staubach for Navy wins it. O.J. Simpson, 1968 for USC. In Ravens history, 2000, M&T Bank Stadium. Jamal Lewis, two touchdowns. Trent Dilfer throws two touchdowns, one to Sam Gash, one to Patrick Johnson, as the Ravens, they beat the Cleveland Browns 44-7. And then a year ago today at SoFi Stadium, Ravens beat the Chargers 20-10. Zay Flowers had two TDs, one by Rush, one by Lamar Arm. Justin Tucker kicked two field goals. Ravens beat the Chargers 20-10 a year ago today. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Dirty Dozen, who are the 12 best teams in the NFL through 12 weeks. Vinny's got that coming your way. Take your phone calls. Got a fun house trip coming up. Nolan McGraw got news from the Nest at noon. Going to hear from Harbaugh and the rest after last night's win. Buy or sell. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday money? And then Chris Boombacha. Shish Boom Ba. Talk some NFL with him from USA Today coming up at 12:30.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen. The 12 best NFL teams according to our GM, Vinny Serrato.
You're damn right I'm serious. Look, they might not be pretty, but any one of mine is worth 10 of yours.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn It Up Tuesday. Victory Tuesday. Ravens 30-23 over the Chargers, which means week 12 of the NFL season in the books. That means records have been accumulated. Stats are being kept. Let's talk about the 12 best teams heading into Thanksgiving, the Dirty Dozen.
All right, let's recap week 12, which was Lions number 1, Buffalo 2, Kansas City 3, Pittsburgh 4, Philly 5, Chargers 6, Ravens 7, Minnesota 8, Green Bay 9, Washington 10, Arizona 11, and Denver 12. So, week 13, coming in at number 12, 7-5 Washington. Lost to Dallas, 34-26. They're hosting Tennessee. Washington blocked a field goal and a punt in the same game for the first time since 1977.
Yeah, and their special teams still sucked worse than Dallas's did.
Yes.
In the end.
Yeah. Coming in at 11, 6-5 Seattle. Beat Arizona 16-6. They're at the Jets. Geno Smith is fourth in the NFL in a clean pocket. And 30th under pressure.
Yeah, how about them all of a sudden getting towards the top of the
two in a row now?
NFC West.
Good job for Mike McDonald.
No doubt.
Coming in at 10, 7-5 Denver. One at Vegas, 29-19. They host Cleveland on Monday night. Over his last nine games, Bo Nix, 16 touchdowns, two interceptions.
Making a move towards Offensive Rookie of the Year, perhaps? Oh. Jane Daniels is struggling a little bit.
I would say right now he's kind of the leader. I would think he'd be the leader in the clubhouse right now.
It's going to be a fight down the stretch for both teams to get in the postseason. And maybe that'll decide, Vinny, who gets the award.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Because pretty much both sit at 7-5. Coming in at 9. 7-4 Chargers. They lost last night to the Ravens. They're at Atlanta. Ladd McConkey is averaging just under 18 yards per catch over his last five games.
Becoming the dude all of a sudden for
Justin
Herbert. I'll
tell you what, he's smart guy, really knows how to get open in zone and stuff. Coming in at 8-3 Green Bay. Beat the Niners 38-10. We'll see them Thursday night. Versus Miami. Oh, that's going to be a cold one.
That's going to be an interesting game, too.
And the Packers lead the NFL with 11 defensive fumble recoveries for turnovers.
Well, they need them because Jordan Love's thrown 11 picks this year.
Yeah, yeah. And, Bob, how about the guy, the DB for the Packers, who's leading the league in interceptions? You know where he played at last year?
No clue, because I don't know who we're talking about here.
The Giants. He played for the Giants last year, and Barkley played for the Giants last year. The reason why the Giants are where they're going to be on the Feeble Five. Coming in at 7, 8-3 Pittsburgh. They lost at Cleveland 24-19. They're at Cincy. The Steelers have the fewest missed tackles in the NFL with 61.
Well, good for them. They just lost to Cleveland. Xavier McKinney is the player we're talking about.
Coming in at 6, probably one of the surprise, maybe one of the leading candidates for Coach of the Year, Vikings. They won at Chicago 30-27 in overtime. They're hosting Arizona. Linebacker Jonathan Grenard, Pat Jones, and Van Ginkel, they've combined for 25 sacks, more than 8 NFL teams. Van Ginkel, I watched him. I liked him last year because he was with the Dolphins, and he was in the Hard Knocks.
How can you not like a guy named Van Ginkel? By the way, Grenard was a stud for Houston last year. So, I mean, but they still get to the quarterback, too. But either way, Grenard's been a nice addition to the Vikings, who have quietly won 4 in a row all this
year. And Hunter's been a stud for Houston.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Coming in at 5, 8-4 Baltimore. They won at the Chargers 30-23, hosting Philly. Zay Flowers leads all wide receivers with causing missed tackles, what, 19? Causing the most missed tackles.
Well, as Chris Berman would say, whoop!
Yeah.
Whoop! He had a couple last night, too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, he's over. Who was I talking to? They needed Vincent. Because Vincent bet Zay Flowers on receiving yards, and he needed 52, and I think he won $20 or whatever. Hey, sounded like Haney last night.
Better not.
All right, coming in at 4, Philadelphia. 9-2, one at the Rams, 30-27. They're at the Ravens. Over their last 7-game win streak, the Eagles have outgained their opponents by 1,260 yards.
Yeah, that's a team that's cooking right now.
Yeah,
and we talked about it. And we talked about it off the air, and I'm sure we'll talk about it next day and a half because we're out of here Thursday and Friday. But they're not exactly going through the gauntlet of playoff teams.
No,
putting the streak together. But 7 wins in a row. 7 wins in a row.
Yeah, the Chargers had won how many in a row? 4.
They had won 4. Yeah.
Coming in at 3, Kansas City 10-1. One at Carolina 30-27. We will see them Black Friday against the Raiders. Andy Reid has won 10 or more games 19 times in his career. Only Bill Belichick and Don Shula have more with 20.
They might as well just get that bust ready and get him fitted for that gold jacket because that's happening.
No doubt. Coming in at 2, 9-2 Buffalo. Buffalo's on bye, or they were on bye, and they're hosting San Francisco Sunday night. Wide receiver Khalil Shakir has 0 drops on his 64 targets this season.
So there you go. I mean, they might not have a star-studded receiving core, but Amari Cooper played unexpectedly their last game, and it's helped the cause there, man.
Now, Bob, watching last night, because I said that the Chargers offense kind of reminded me of Buffalo. Do you see that after last night?
Yeah, Allen and Herbert are similar. Yeah. Allen's a bigger, stronger guy.
Yeah.
But still.
But the receiver, nobody scared you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Coming in at 1, 10-1 Detroit. They won at Indy 24-6. They're hosting the Bears Thursday in the opener at noon.
The Bears.
The Lions have won 10 of their first 11 games for the first time in 90 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's one of the franchises that's never played in a Super Bowl, by the way. Is Detroit, and they haven't won an NFL title since before the Colts were winning them with Johnny Unitas. But at 10.5-point spread, if I was betting on that, I'm taking Detroit to win, but I can see Chicago covering that spread.
So maybe. In summary, Detroit 1, Buffalo 2, Kansas City 3, Philly 4, Baltimore 5, Minnesota 6, Pittsburgh 7, Green Bay 8, Chargers 9, Denver 10, Seattle 11, Washington 12. So really, Bob, I mean, if you're looking at top 8, you know, they're all 8-3 and better. Some pretty good, you know, with NFC, you got Detroit, Philly, Minnesota, Green Bay. And then the AFC, Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
It's It's Vinny at Haney 105.7. The Fan will come back, talk to Nolan McGraw as we go to his fun house. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. You want to join us for that? You can at 410-583-1057. We'll count some dough heading into the Thanksgiving weekend at 12:15. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. We'll talk about the NFL through 12 weeks. Look ahead to week 13. We got any sleeper teams ready to rise up? I'm looking at you, Dolphins, down the stretch in this ball game. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Nolan, want to squeeze a call in here real quick? Let's do it. 410-583-1057. We go to Antoine in Baltimore. Antoine, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are y'all?
It's a victory Tuesday, Antoine.
Oh, yes, it was. I watched it. I screamed and hollered. But let me get to it. So, I thought that, you know, they went after Wiggins the whole game, and I thought he played a really exceptional game. I was good to see that they went back to running the ball, and San Diego's defense was too small, but I was just waiting for their offense to fall apart because, you know, it's Greg Roman's offense. It ain't got much passing to it. They were going to try to run the ball, and eventually the defense was going to step up. So it was a great game. I'm just hoping that, you know, this matchup with Philadelphia is going to be Henry versus Barkley for the lead. I'm believing that. It's going to be a great game. Kobe beat Philly. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Antoine. And what? You got Pittsburgh taking on Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So the Ravens could be in first place when we talk about it on Monday. But they, Chargers are running the ball. Dobbins getting hurt turned out to be kind of a game changer for them a little bit offensively.
Yeah, because Dobbins was averaging 6.7 per carry. He had six carries, 40 yards. So, that hurt them a little bit. And, I mean, the guy, Barkley, Sunday, talk about burst through the hole. And, you know, and he's about 220. He's a big guy, too.
It is going to be an interesting game, not just on the field. It's going to be, you know, maybe Super Bowl preview, not to get into too much build up here. But Philly fans are going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nolan, how many videos are we going to see of fans fist fighting in M&T Bank Stadium?
I was thinking about the same thing last night. I mean, the resale market is probably through the roof. It's a short drive down 95. You know they're going to be swarming down here. I mean, the Commanders fans, they were swarming here earlier this season, and the resale market was crazy. So, Super Bowl preview, maybe, but
pump the brakes a little bit.
I seem to remember baseball season, the Phillies coming to Camden Yards pretty early in the season last year, and the hype for that being through the roof and everyone labeling that as a World Series preview. Long season, we know what happens in the end, but it may be slow down a little bit here.
Well, I tell you, that was mid-June, I believe, when Philly came to town and the Orioles lost a heartbreaker in the opener. I think Kimbrel like blew the save or something. And then the Orioles won the next two games, and that's when the Orioles were starting to really fly a little bit, no pun intended, as they went to New York. That was right around the time they were hitting their peak as a team. But we're not here to talk about the Orioles and their 7,000 pitching analysts and hitting coordinators. We have time for another call.
Hey, Bob, real quick. The upper-level tickets for the game, upper-level, $354 a ticket.
Oh, wow. You know how much the seat in my dining room is? Free. All right, let's go to the phones. 410-583-1057. Darren in D.C. Darren, what's up?
Okay, what's going on? Very, very quickly to Mike Locksley, you might want to consider doing what Deion did and hiring an ex-NFL lineman, like an offensive lineman, even a defensive lineman. That may help you with recruiting to get more premium guys in the trenches. Secondly, to my fans in Philly that are coming down, just remember you're guests in our house. And the movie A Bronx Tale, when the bikers got out of hand in the bar, Chaz Palminteri just said, hey, close the door behind them and said, now you can't leave, so act accordingly. The last thing is I'll say is great win last night. John Harbaugh, who I've been a massive critic of, has done a few great things in his 17-plus years. Two of them have been in the playoffs in 2012. He told them, we're riding with Joe. 2018, he said, we're riding with Lamar. This year, going into the playoffs, we're riding with Derrick Henry. You're a big physical team. You have Daniel Falele in there for a reason. He's improved in his blocking. It's time to be physical against these small defenses and let the king take it home. Take care, guys.
All right, Darren, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Bob, looking at the tickets, it says here that 10,398 fans are shopping right now.
I saw, and I don't have season tickets to the Ravens, full disclosure, but I saw on social media, again, Facebook, because I'm old. I tried to get on MySpace. It wouldn't have happened. But anyway, like a lot of Ravens fans are pissed at other Ravens fans for putting their tickets on the secondary markets, and the Eagles fans are buying them all up.
Yeah. Bob, like in the 200 section, $1,100 a ticket.
No. What do you think, Nolan?
I get the frustration in Ravens fans selling, but if someone's going to pay that much resale price for the ticket and you can make back what you paid and then some, look, man, I mean, I'm not going to begrudge anyone.
And you sell four tickets in the 200 section, $5,000.
Yeah. If someone's willing to pay that. That's not my problem.
Yeah, Bob, but then you can sit at home and watch.
I don't have them, and I'm cool. Look, I'm going to have three TVs working. I'm good. But to Darren's point, Philadelphia fans beat each other up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're worried about Ravens fans. As long as you don't get some dope, like, sucker-punching Commanders fans down in Federal Hill a couple of months ago.
Yeah, we'd like to avoid that.
Yes. Just enjoy the game. But I did see video in FedEx Field, or whatever the hell it's called, Northwest Stadium, where Cowboys and Commanders fans are going at it. It's a sporting event, you know? You ain't playing. Yeah, you're invested emotionally and financially, obviously, as we just talked about, but you still got to work tomorrow.
Hey, when you pay $25 for a beer, you'll make that beer count.
Yeah. Yeah, not by throwing it on somebody. Told you. David Rubenstein, if you're listening, spend all the money you can on free agents, because my beer is going to start 8. It's still 18, and maybe it goes up to 25, but I'm drinking it anyway. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan News from the Nest next.